Welcome to the Edinburgh Fringe. And sometimes the show name makes it a little bit awkward to introduce. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome. Edinburgh is here. I'm Ewan Spence, bringing you one more little flavour of the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. And to sum up today's one, it's very easy. This is the one where the, oh no, think of her delicate ears, you must tick the explicit tag in iTunes, is going to have to be ticked. I mean, look, it's just one word. It's just shit. We say it a couple of times, but that's it. There's nothing else. But I still need to put the flag on. Okay? Yes, yes, yes. Somebody's already turned up. There you are. Later on in the show, it's Cat Shit Crazy, the show from Cindy D'Andrea, which has gathered a lot of attention because of, oh, think of our delicate ears, our delicate eyes. What a terrible, terrible word to put in the middle. But it's a wonderful show. We'll come to that in a second. We've been doing a lot of shortlists this week, keeping up to date with some of the big critical hits of The Fringe, giving you just an idea of just more. What's everybody else talking about? But today I have a winner, and it is the most appropriate winner that I can think of for a podcast. Yes, it is the two winners of the Best Comedy Poster Award for 2023. I have them both here. So here's the panel winner, and here's the audience winner. And if you want to see them, we will have a link at our website, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcore.com, back to the website. But in all seriousness, the panel prize here goes to Bennett Aaron, who self-designed and photographed his poster for Loser, which does some wonderful hiding the face behind the actual name of the show. The audience prize went to Daniel Fox's poster for Villain, designed and photographed by Jigsaw. It's a lovely piece of dark negative space that pulls the eye in with just a little bit of a highlighting of Daniel's face and shoulders, and it is exquisite. Poster art is always a curious one at Edinburgh. Sometimes it's just a big face with the hi, it's who's not here, it's Tim Vine, and there's not much there. Sometimes they get very intricate, very detailed. Some of them are striking in boldness and simplicity, which is why this award is here. So as I said, we'll have a link back to that where you can see all the posters that are submitted. Basically all of them, really. But you do have the shortlist there from over the weekend, and the winning shows are Bennett Aaron and Daniel Fox. Right, moving on to another show where the poster got them into a bit of trouble. Cat Shit Crazy from Cindy Andre. Right at the start of The Fringe, Cindy went out to look at her posters to find it. She's over from Holyrood. She's over from Hollywood. I made that mistake in the interview as well. clearly, they've both been the same thing. They're both fantastical places where real things don't really matter. Or maybe they do. Anyway, the poster was censored, so it was Cat censored sticker crazy. And that's a bit disappointing. There wasn't much communication, but that, you know, that caught the attention of the press. It gave us a nice little story at the start of The Fringe. It built up from there. Audience recognition kicked in, and you have a nice little bit of organic buzz. But anyway, the show itself, it's autobiographical. It's about part of it keys off one of the darkest moments in Cindy's life, where her best friend suggested that she should get a cat. So the show sort of moves from the I hate cats to countless feline friends over the years. It is a story about a woman, about a cat, about many cats, and about unconditional love. It's the Space Triplex, 1:45 p.m. through to the 26th of August, recorded outside when it was amazingly sunny. Amazingly sunny. It's myself, Cindy Andrea. Do
joining me outside in one of the many open spaces that is graced by 5 minutes of sunshine every single day, and I found that 5 minutes because I've done the Fringe many, many times. I'm joined now by Cindy Andrea, who hasn't done the Fringe many, many times, but that big ball of fire in the sky we've borrowed from Hollywood.
I love that, because when I woke up this morning and put on my cat costume to go flyer, it started pouring rain, and I was like, okay, do I take the bus? Do I get it, go back and get my rain jacket? Do I take an umbrella? And I did none of that. I just walked in the rain.
The admiral is like, just wait 10 minutes. It'll change again.
Yes, and that's exactly what happened. The sun came out. I put my sunglasses on. I'm like, okay, I can deal with this.
Okay, so about this cat costume. That's going to be our gateway into the show. But why are you flying dressed as a cat?
Okay, so I have this cat leotard that I wear. And then I put on my cat paws. So they're like mittens, but they're paws. And then I put on my sparkly cat ears. And that draws people in, because they say you should dress in costume. And that's not my costume that I do for the show, but it has garnered a lot of attention, me being in a unitard with cat ears. And the only thing I don't have is the tail, because I have nothing to stick it to.
So the show itself, Cat Shit Crazy, has gathered a lot of attention at the Fringe, but not for the show, not before anything that's happened when you got here. In the run-up to the Fringe, you managed to do something that everybody loves, which is get some attention.
Some accidental attention, because when I first got here, I was so excited to go look at where my posters were, you know, that I spent a good amount of money for. And the lamppost poster had a big censored over the shed. And I was not alerted about this, so I contacted the printing company and said, what's going on? So, yeah, unfortunately, they didn't let me know. So so I sort of was not that happy, and my publicist mentioned it to somebody at Edinburgh News, and they wrote an article about me, and then The Guardian. So my friends back in L.A. were like, you were in The Guardian. So... And now people come up to me and go, oh, you're the Cat Shit Crazy lady. So I'm like, yes. So I am so happy of the publicity, actually. It turned out to be a wonderful thing.
The lesson here is not censorship is a good thing, by the way.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And that's the whole thing, because my show is called Cat Shit Crazy, obviously a play on batshit crazy. So, and I was so proud of my title, because last year I came as a spectator and I tested out my title on people. You know, I would talk to people in the queue and say, oh, why did you see this show, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I'm thinking of bringing a show. And they said, what's the title? And I said, Cat Shit Crazy. And everybody had a visceral reaction. So one of my notes was, keep title of show. So here we are.
And it works in ways you could never have imagined. The Fringe has got so many of these little stories around the 1 hour, because, I mean, we alluded to there earlier, from Hollywood. No, that's our side. Hollywood, that's your one.
Yeah.
if you were from Hollywood, then this would be a completely different podcast, and I would have the Secret Service around me, and we wouldn't be doing Hollywood.
Yes.
Hollywood.
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 You can say Los Angeles. You know, Los Angeles might be easier to say. It's the same thing.
But you have Fringe over there. You have the Hollywood Fringe. And you have the Edinburgh Fringe. And there's a slight difference in scale.
Yes, I think there is about 350 shows at the Hollywood Fringe. And of course, last year, when I looked up edfringe.com for like the date, August 8th to August 8th, 3,562 shows came up. So there's a little more competition. What's that, 1,000% more?
But does it have the same sort of flavor? Does Fringe still feel Fringe wherever it is in the world?
So the thing about the Fringe in Hollywood is they have this thing called office hours. So every Wednesday night, all of the artists meet at a bar and exchange postcards and stuff. With here, it's a little hard to find the places, or there's just too many people. Like, there was an initial Fringe thing, I think, at Bruhemia, But there were so many people there, and then I got nervous about getting COVID or something, so I just like ran away. So it's a little bit harder to, I mean, definitely there's American artists and we share details, and just meeting people, you know, just meeting people on the street, going to other people's shows. But I think it's a little bit harder to meet in groups, to find those groups so that you can consistently exchange each other's postcards and say, come to my show. A little bit harder to find here than it is in Hollywood. And in Hollywood also, it's on a few different blocks, so you can just literally walk from this venue to this venue to this venue. And you know, but it's the same thing as here, where you go to multiple shows. People, you know, go to 9 shows in a day, whatever it is, that they go to multiple shows in a day. And that's universal, I think.
And now we come to the biggest question right in the middle of the interview. Tell us about your show.
My show, Catch It Crazy. Catch It Crazy is, as I say, a tale of grief, recovery, self-discovery, and cats. Basically, it's built on my life rescuing cats in the city of Los Angeles for well over 20 years, taking them into my home, domesticating them, and a lot of the times them becoming my own. You know, there's lots of people that rescue cats. They have 35 cats in their home. I got up to 7. I didn't get as many as 35, but that's how I found love. That's how I found my purpose. That's how I found where I belonged, by being in the animal community and falling in love with felines. And I think we can learn a lot about ourselves by taking care of animals, and you're saving a life. But as I say, you know, they really saved me. I think I'm saving a life, but really they're saving your life. So it's a beautiful story that has an ending that's unexpected. So I really take you on a very fast journey. And it takes place in Costa Rica at a spiritual retreat center where I dip into the quote-unquote plant medicine.
You said that you discovered cats. When did you decide that you were going to bring a cat into your life? Because there must have been a point where just before you were like, no to cats. And then there was a point where I went, yes to cats. How did you bridge that gap?
Okay, so that's a really good question. I had tragedy in childhood with pets, so I had pretty much disconnected from animals, and I actually was a professed cat hater. But I made a lot of bad decisions in relationships. I had a lot of just poor choices in men, and I felt unlovable. You know, I the people that I loved didn't love me. I couldn't seem to find a consistent relationship, and so I was pretty much wanting not to really be here anymore. And as I say in the show, I called my best friend Janet to say goodbye, and she told me to get a cat. And I know that that's funny, but
it's
she
funny,
did.
It's funny now, but at that point, that must have been quite a powerful message to hear.
It was, because I didn't know how much I had disconnected from animals until she said that. And I was like, what are you talking about? I hate cats. Why? Like, but that's what best friends are for. They're sort of psychic in a way, and they know you. And so I took her advice, and I went to the shelter and adopted 2 kittens, and my life changed automatically. And I wanted everyone to have this amazing feeling. And so I went on a journey to get everybody to have this feeling.
Are those 2 kittens still with you?
No, they are not. They have crossed over the rainbow bridge.
And it's an interesting cycle that I always find, because they give so much love, but the deal is you've got to help them at the end.
Well, the thing is that with anything that you love strongly, you will probably lose at some point. And that's universal. When animals get sick, you want to do everything to take care of them and give them a quality of life. And when there's a time where the quality of life is no longer good and you're holding on for you more than them, then you have to make that horrible decision. So it's, you know, we are so attached to our animals, those of us that have them, and you see your animals more than you see relationships because, you know, whatever, your husband or wife goes to work, your best friend this, but you see your animals all the time because every time you come home, there they are. So it's a very strong bond, and it's worth going through the pain of loss to experience the joy of love, unconditional love.
And it's these bonds of love that you're bringing into the show?
Yes, exactly. Because I sensed at some point, this is my third solo show, so I wrote my first solo show in 2016, and I was kind of sensing that these animals that I had spent so much time with, plus all of the rescues I've done and people coming up to me asking me, how do you do this? How do you do that? I'm like, you know what? I should write a show about this. And I wasn't getting any acting work. So I was like, okay, I'm going to write a show that I'm going to be able to be in. And I'm going to educate people in a edutaining way about how to do this, because in LA, you know, millions of kittens get killed, millions of cats get killed every year in shelters. So I know you guys don't have this here, which is wonderful. You don't euthanize in shelters, but we do there. So people need to know how to address stray cats in the community. So that's why I started putting these shows together.
And then deciding to bring it over to Edinburgh.
Edinburgh was a dream of mine. Some of my American colleagues had told me about it back 7 years ago, and I was like, that's my goal, that's my dream. And so it's exorbitantly expensive to come and do the whole month here. So I set up crowdfunding, and my goal is to give back to the animal community, to bring attention to the animal community. So I actually have a program, and in that program I list all of the animal shelters here in Edinburgh and also in Los Angeles. And so if people want to donate to the animal shelters, and someone was here today from the Edinburgh Cat and Dog Home, so I'm reaching out to the different rescue organizations here too.
So the show itself, there's a couple of days left at the Fringe, so people can still come along and see that.
Yeah, it's it changed its time yesterday, so it's at 1:45 at the Space UK Triplex, and it is, yeah, we have tomorrow, Wednesday through Saturday, so come to see it for sure. It's definitely, if you go to the edfringe.com website, you will see the audience reviews, which are just spectacular. I couldn't have asked for better reviews. Just meeting people after the show, seeing how much the show affected them, having them show me photos and video of their animals, and you know, also grieving the loss of their animals. It's very much a loving community. So and even if you don't like cats, you'll have a good time on the journey.
Love is love.
Love is love is love is love. Wherever you find it, whoever you find it with, exactly.
And if you're trying to find anything like that, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com is not a dating site. It's where you'll find this podcast, but it's where you'll also find links straight into the box office at Ed Fringe, over to your work as well, Cindy. We'll get some website links up there as well. Cindy, delighted to talk to you. Thanks for coming onto the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Cindy Andre there, and Cat Shit Crazy, and the explicit tag on iTunes goes on. Plays at the Space Triplex, 1:45 p.m. through until the 26th of August. And as always, links back at our website, edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com, through to the ticket office, and also through to Cindy's website as well, so you can see more about her. And we do that with all the acts, so you can carry on and see what they're up to outside of the Fringe. And if you're outside of Edinburgh, a chance to see YouTube clips, see if they're going to be touring in the area, other productions that they might have been in, and so on and so on and so on. If you want to do a little bit for the show, you know the drill here. Deep breath, link, like, love, share, subscribe. We'll be back here tomorrow. It's Friday. We're going into the last weekend of the Fringe. If you think Glastonbury starts on a Friday and finishes on the Sunday, Monday, then we're kind of there. We're now into the, there's a Glastonbury to go at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. We've been here all month. It's still going. It's absolutely wonderful. And I'll have more from the Fringe for you tomorrow. For now, ta-ra. You've been listening to the Edinburgh Fringe Show, hosted by Ewan Spence, produced by The Podcast Corner. Listen to more from The Fringe at edinburghfringe.thepodcastcorner.com.